Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Article Show with DP.
What's up?
And basically, I'm going to be doing something new with these, because I've got to deal with some medical bills, but as soon as I get that kind of squared away, I've got to talk to my artist about getting two separate things going, because in January we're going to rebrand. I even told the artist it'd probably be January before I can work with them. But basically, we're going to have the Grim Articles Show with DP, and there's actually going to be a full-on thumbnail, kind of like, you know, with TFM. TFM has this TFM show thing. Well, we're going to have something like that, where there's like a backdrop, and like it's going to be like it's an image basically, but we're going to show the cast. Yeah, I have ideas. I'm not telling you anything. You'll find out.
Be a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, maybe. You'll find out. I got something pretty funny in mind.
Cool.
And then after that, there's going to be our light shows, which we do on Mondays, and those are the Grim Articles Show, the Grim Articles Show is with DP, and then the other show is the Games and Rants Show, which is going to be me solo with Zexy, of course, and we've got something really nice planned for that, too. I've actually got to give the artists a lot of different reference pieces, so this is going to be something that I'm probably going to put a lot of money into, because I want it to look good. But we're doing new show imagery because I want this to be a little more professional, and this show is only going to be on, except for interviews, this will only be on MGTOW.TV and BitChute. That's it. People on YouTube don't see it, and it's fine because my YouTube channel is booming. We've got 10,000 people on there in the past 28 days. People are coming for the hentai content there. That's going to stay. Some people on BitChute like the hentai content. Some people on MGTOW.TV like the hentai content. And I say some being very light. Most people are generally not there for that, but BitChute, they like it, and YouTube, they love it. So there's places for all that. And I went to Odyssey. I said, Odyssey, okay, listen, I have a political show, but I also have this Grimm's Hentai Corner. So, you know, I said, we don't plan on showing any coyote sex. We don't plan on showing any coyote, whatever.
Coyotus?
Yeah.
Coitus.
We don't plan on showing any coitus. I thought it was coyote. I don't know.
It's a mix between Toyota and coyote.
Well,
it's a coitus.
I don't plan on showing any coitus, but, you know, I said there would be some nudity, artistic nudity, and I didn't figure that would be a problem for your platform. Obviously, these novels do have stories, and I plan to narrate them. So, you know, I wanted that to be done proper. I wanted them to say, this isn't just me showing hentai clips, you know, because a lot of people say, oh, I want to put porn on there. No, I don't want to put porn on there. I want to put the stories on there, which are doing well on YouTube.
It's kind of like when actresses say,
basically,
as long as it's tasteful for the role.
Right. And YouTube was, I mean, they don't have an issue with it. But Odyssey, well, I mean, I went to their help. I went to their support. I said, is this okay on your platform? I deliberately explained what it was, and they have yet to give me a response. So I guess that means they're not willing to cooperate. They may not want it. If they do not want the content, I will not be giving it to them. I mean, it's fair. If people that wanted to follow me on Odyssey, apparently Odyssey doesn't want us. Surely they would have gotten back to me. It's been 3 days. So, you know, just kind of weird. I kind of expected maybe they would care. I guess they don't. Anyway, that is the basic housekeeping. Also, of course, we have to talk about our sponsor, SpinningRobotPussy.com. You can get one of those. It's holiday time. Time to get one for your doll. Mine got new clothes, which she'll be modeling.
Buy one for yourself. Treat yourself.
Which she'll be modeling on her Instagram fairly soon.
You want to tell someone you care? Get them a spinning robot pussy.
There you go. And besides, I just saw on my social media, they got these spinning robot liquor things, and they go really fast. And I looked at them. Just looked at them now. They are very, very good. Matter of fact, no. We're going to break just for a sec. I want to show you these. Obviously, we're not going to play the sound from them. But I did look at them. And I'm like, well, yeah. Now, I don't know if I shared this on my own social media. But if I did, I want to show them to you real quick. Let's see. Let's see here. We can. I don't think, no. Oh, yep. Here we go. Yep, that's the woman's version of the spinning robot pussy. Looks
nice.
Yep, they are called, I can't see the name of the product. It says I-N-T-A-L something, but they are spinning robot licking things.
I'm telling you, it kind of reminds me of Freddy Krueger's tongue coming out the phone.
Yeah, doesn't it though, a little bit? But yeah, guys, that's what the women have. So the women have these already.
I mean, they have a million different.
Well, they've got, yeah, but they've got that now. So yeah, now it's your turn, gentlemen. The spinning robot pussy will be your best friend.
I'll tell you now, it's much easier to come up with a shaft than it is a hole.
Right. Now, also, we have to promote the Dragon's Treasure tea. You can go to thedragonstreasure.com and pick up your 10% off anime-inspired tees. You can use the code NOSE, we know who that refers to, and Four Doors More Whores for percentage off your tee purchase. So, there we go. I don't have anything to advertise from, other than the fact that GOG released some Kagura games, which are pretty expensive, but the representative from Kagura told me that they're pretty much that, like, they're that price. But hey, they're uncensored, so a couple games you can get from GOG, and I think IndieGala is still doing their hentai. They had a Black Friday sale, but they have like a Cyber Hentai Monday thing, and that was good because they had a lot of good games. And Groupies, they're done with their hentai sale. But hey, if any new hentai sales or anything come up like that, I will inform you guys of it. But so far, nothing's gonna happen till the holiday season, so just wait and hold on to your wallets. It's gonna be a crazy month. Okay, now, secondly, yes, I'm alive. Funny story about that. So, basically, being very blunt about all this, yeah, I did have a situation where I felt heavily anxious. They had me in the, they had me stalking the Christmas section, which is really good because that's just, it's way out away from everybody. So I could really just kind of be good, deal with it on my own. So I was listening to a lot of Cell Dweller and stuff like that, and just try to generally keep a good mindset about it. And of course, the voice in your head or anxiety will tell you, "Oh, you're gonna die of this." Like they try to say, "Oh, you're gonna die of a pulmonary at 11:05." It's like, okay, well, let's wait for 11:05. 11:05 happened. Nope, nothing happened. So I'm like, okay, well, nothing happened this time, nothing happened that time. You know what? I think a lot of this is just in my head. So basically, upon that realization, my body just kind of changed. I went from my heart pounding all the fucking time to just zombie mode. Like, it was like I went through a war. Like, I was completely fucking zoned out. Like, just like, ooh, yeah. And, basically, I just had to deal with that for a little bit. Now, I do have a new friend called the Tension Headache. Now, I had this friend before, but now I have this friend a lot more often. The Tension Headache is nothing to generally be worried about. It's something that happens for people that have general anxiety disorder, as I do. And it doesn't really hurt. I have a high pain tolerance to begin with. But it's nagging. Like, it just feels like the back of your head and your neck are kind of, like you strained them, like a muscle strain. And they say that's actually what it is, that the stress builds up on the pain on the back of your nerve. Like, some people carry the stress on their back or their neck and stuff like that. And that's basically where my stress is. So they say, like, a good massage. Maybe I need to hit up some Asian ladies in a massage parlor. Get something like that done. Happy ending, and, you know.
I tell you, I've seen a lot of people go to those pedicure places. Mm-hmm. And because you get your feet massaged and junk when you do that.
No, I didn't fucking know that.
Yeah, guys go to them all the time. Just
well, shit. Because
they, you know, they clip your nails, make them not look gnarly. And, you know, they don't have to paint them. That's just...
Oh, yeah.
Then they massage your feet. And
damn.
They let scrape the dead skin off.
I might have wanted to have my nails blue.
I mean, you can if you want to. That's,
that's
your choice.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, new year, new me. New year, new me.
Maybe in the wintertime when I'm wearing shoes, but not in the summertime when I'm wearing sandals.
But, yeah. Basically, though, it's caused me to think a lot about death. And it was, I don't know, there was a show I was watching. There's a show that William Shatner does called The Unexplained. Very good. They were talking about all the cases they've had of, you know, people that have tried to go for immortality. It's very fascinating because there is one, you know, they talk about the fact that they've done some medical studies and they found out that a lot of these men that live to 200 or something in India, when they do their meditation, they actually lower their metabolism by 60%.
Well, you know, why turtles live so long.
They lower their metabolism by 60%. So they actually are able to, I'm probably going to be running around this for a while, so let's just move forward on this. I told you guys I got stuck on this. But, anyway, like I was saying, yeah, they slow their metabolism down, and it makes it so they can live to ridiculous amounts of ages.
In India, and, if they had our diet, it wouldn't do them a bit of good, because lowering your metabolism... You'd be morbidly obese.
Well, not only that, there was this one, because remember, India was under British occupation. So basically, when this one guy was lived up to 200, they actually had accounts of him still being alive for that fucking long. Yeah. So that's, yeah, pretty amazing. Also, there is one on reincarnation that really fucking hit me. Now, somebody wants to give me some sources on this, but I think it's really interesting. Basically, there's this woman, I think her name is Edie, British woman. But she believes that she was in a relationship with this pharaoh, and she basically had been in, like, she had a head trauma. I think she fell out of a cart and her head just completely smashed, and she was dead instantly. Yeah. But when she awoke, and she was in the next life, they said she had already knew how to read hieroglyphs. She already had a ridiculous amount of knowledge based on a certain pyramid that she and the pharaoh had accompanied because she was there while it was being built. So basically, when they opened this pyramid up, she was able to go in there and explain where every single room was. Like, basically, she said, well, this room is here. Like, she was telling them where the rooms were. Just a British woman with an extensive, ridiculous... She knew things that she shouldn't... No way in hell she should know. Not only that, but she knew how to read hieroglyphs better than people that had been reading them for years in Egypt. They actually took her to a room where they said there's no way she could have known. And she was able to read all the hieroglyphs in there and discern the room where she was in the area. Like, nobody had been in this room before.
Yeah.
So she knew all about this. And you know what she did? She not only moved to Egypt, but she married an Egyptian and had a son. Her name was Aniseti, which means, that's what they called her, Aniseti. And she was one of the world's most renowned Egyptologists. Because nobody had ever heard of somebody that had actually that extensive knowledge of Egypt. Like, no, I mean, that's unreal for somebody to come back and say, well, this is how this hieroglyph is supposed to be read. This is where this room leads to. This is where that room leads to. This is where this stuff. I mean, they were showing them rooms they didn't know existed in the fucking pyramid. That's what we're talking about here.
I mean, you will chalk it up to several, you know, I guess in the Christian faith, you could chalk it up to demonic present.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, if you would think about it this way.
Because remember, this is about a person that already had relations with the Pharaoh, like she knew everything about all.
How well, in her mind when she came out of whatever it was.
No, she was like that from a child.
Oh, from a child.
Yes.
Well, even from a child, that could be explained.
But
as demonic.
In India, there are people that have,
and
like...
In India, where they pray to hundreds of different gods.
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
I would say, if you're trying to get a whole group, civilization, to not believe in something, you would come up with anything to dissuade them.
I don't necessarily believe. Like I said, I'm very open-minded on the whole situation. I understand it.
I'm open-minded.
And a religious, but
it could be.
Yeah.
But I don't think reincarnation.
But the thing is, the only difference that they noted is that reincarnation only happens when you've been through a traumatic event. Because everybody that's died, come back from reincarnation, had a traumatic event. And they believe that's because the spirit isn't finished yet. Like, there's something else that it has to do. And, of course, that's what that person did. They actually wanted to be the wife of that pharaoh. So they found another Egyptian guy and Egyptian kid, and was one of the world's most renowned Egyptologists for several years. I mean, that's one of the people that gave us most of the knowledge we have about some of the most ancient parts of Egypt and Egyptian culture, because we didn't have that information prior. I mean, it's really hard to tell what was going on if you weren't actually there in Egypt.
Well, yeah.
But she had all that information, and that was very influential to history and just to study in general. So that was, it's very interesting. I think things are a lot more open-ended than that. I think it depends ultimately on your belief, but I believe things are a lot more open-ended. And I do believe we live in a simulation. I do believe the simulation theory. As to the programmer, I don't know. I mean, somebody said it could be God, could be, you know, I don't know. But I do know that we have a simulation, and I think parts of it are coming back and doing other things. So, I mean, that's something I do believe in. I did talk about my 1.84, 1.85 life timeline thing, where you could die in one timeline, be awake in another. Just like go to bed and die, and then you don't even know it, and you're awake in another timeline, but it looks so different. I mean, it's not different, actually.
I mean, I thought about that, like you're in a car wreck, but you weren't ever in the car wreck.
Right, you weren't ever in the car wreck. Well, what I'm saying is, okay, it's not even like, you know, because to go ahead and expound on this, it's not like, you know, everybody says like, oh, you died. Okay, well, there's parts where you could die, like maybe you had a heart attack. But then you woke up and out of bed and you're like, oh, well, I dreamed I had a heart attack. And you say, well, that doesn't sound very good. But then you look and you're like, oh, well, I'm here. But you're not actually in 1.84, you're in 1.85. The only difference is that one man decided he was going to buy Pringles instead of Doritos that day. Everything else is completely the same, except for one man's decision. I know that sounds really funny, but that's the truth. One man's decision, because if we're talking about an infinitesimal number of universes in the simulation, then we have to actually think that they could be so different. It's the one person having a sock of a different color than normal. A leaf is a different color than normal. A speck of grass is a different color than normal. It's not great changes. Now, there probably could be universes where there's great changes, but it's highly doubtful that you'll end up in them, because I don't think that's I don't think that's part of the simulation. I don't think that's what was intended there. But yeah, that's what I've definitely believed in. I don't think you're, you know, but I think that there's a lot of things that could happen. Like I said, you could die and wake up and you're in high school again. Oh, well, okay. But you don't know. You don't know what you were.
I don't know as much as you don't know.
Right. I mean, but I'm saying you don't know. I mean, I'm saying that. But I'm not saying that.
What I believe is different.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, everybody has their own ways of looking at it. But yeah, but I'm saying you don't know that you are. That you died. Like, you don't know that you were in your 40s or 30s, and then you're waking up, you're in high school. Like, oh, well, it's another day of high school. And you're like, oh, shit. You know? I mean, like, yeah, it could happen. Oh, yeah. And I said, you could be mourning somebody in, like, another, like, this world. Somebody died, okay? Well, imagine they're still alive. They woke up. Like, oh, okay. Maybe Michael Jackson was propofol. Maybe he's alive in 1.85. And he didn't know anything's different about him. Like, he's 80 years old now, 70. I don't know how old Michael would be.
Probably in his mid-40s or 50s.
No, he's got to be older than that.
You'd have to look it up.
Michael's got to be older than that. But he probably would be, yeah.
He died when he was in his 40s, I think.
Yeah, that means he's going to be in his 60s. 10
or more years ago.
He's going to be in his 60s, almost 70s. So, yeah, he's going to be pretty up there. But what I'm saying is, yeah, he woke up that day. Maybe he got some help with the propofol. Maybe he changed his thing around. Maybe they got to do that tour that they were going to do. And, you know, it was just a different timeline. Oh, he died in this one. He's alive in this one. And even a scientist on Joe Rogan that studied quantum mechanics said that you can't actually go into the other timeline. You're, like, stuck in this one. Like, even if you want to go in the other timeline and say, hey, future or other, not even future self, but hey, other self, how are you doing?
Self.
Yeah, you can't fucking do that. They're not gonna let you do that. That's like out of bounds for the simulation. But no, it's quite fascinating. But there was other things they talked about with immortality, not just the reincarnation thing, which I found absolutely fascinating. But there is this one technique where people were taking all kinds of different hormones, and they were able to actually reverse the aging process. And they said, like, they started out with gray hair, and their hair started getting darker again, like started getting their natural color. And it was a lot of different things. Like, they were testing out as an experiment to see if it would work. Because they said, basically, that aging is the result of mistakes in cell... Because you remember, your cells, they regenerate...
Cells break down, yeah.
Yeah, well, they regenerate all the time, but they have mistakes and every time they break down.
Yeah.
So that causes you to age. So basically, what they were going to do is reverse that process with hormones and things to try to reverse to make them go backwards instead of forwards. And some people say, well, I'm going backwards instead of forwards in aging. I'm not getting older, I'm getting younger. And they had a lot of proof to it that they were noticing. It was like, oh my God. It's like, so there very well might be a way to do that. And they were talking about, I mean, because they did bring up the Bible, and, you know, Methuselah lived to like 969 years. And, of course, the religious man they had on there said, of course, yes, these people did live that long.
Yeah.
They did live that long. And Noah lived to almost 1,000 years. It's like, these people live fucking long as hell. The life expectancy right now is 79. But they used to live much, much, much longer than that. So it's very interesting when you keep in mind. There's also this well... That's actually radiated water. It's got a chemical that would kill you in large amounts, but they take it in very small amounts, and it actually has made them live to in their hundreds. It's a very interesting. Well, yeah, they analyze the well that they've been drinking from.
Not ever going to be able to create immortality, but they will be able.
Now
to
they're getting very close.
Prolong life. Now that reservoir. Or resveratrol, which is a product that comes from red wine, the concentrated amount, which is about the amount you'd get from 2,000 bottles of wine, they were giving it to rats, and they were living like
four times
longer than normal. They gave one that had like type 2 diabetes and cancer and all that, and it basically... became a healthy, young, acting rat again. That, if they would actually market that, but I don't know if they would or not, just because they feel there's more money. And as long as there's greedy people out to, you know, make more money off your misery, you're not going to... be able to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
That includes food products. Like, if you look at half the stuff that's on the grocery shelf, it is poisonous.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of it has, like, cancer-producing material in it.
I know.
It's stupid. You know, one thing UK has going for it is they have stricter guidelines in what can go in their foods. So Doritos puts better products in their stuff over in the UK than they do over in the US because they can get away with doing something cheaper and crappier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's another thing that they were talking about, other than the cryogenic freezing, which they actually talked about that, but there's one where, of course, they're just going to create new organs, kidneys, and things like that for people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people, they're doing that. They're definitely creating the kidneys.
Well, the brain will be the one thing they can't replace.
Yeah, but they... They can try to reverse the effects that it has from general degradation. So there's a lot of different things that they're trying. But ultimately, death is something we do have to face. And one thing that we do have to kind of keep in mind, though, is that death isn't like a voice in our head telling us that we're going to die or something bad is going to happen. This doesn't even have to be about death. This can be about anything. You can have something called an intrusive thought. I may have talked about this, but intrusive thoughts are where you have... now, this is a really fascinating subject. But intrusive thoughts can be anything from somebody breaking in your house to kill you or, just intrusive... to actual pedophilia. Yes. Yes. You can have sexual thoughts about a kid, and it can be an intrusive thought in your head that you don't want. And let me tell you the difference between this, because most people, like, they get this, and it's actually a symptom of OCD. There was an article done on this from Very Well Mind. But basically, what they found is that people that were having bad OCD would admit to having these thoughts in their head of, them harming a child. And what that actually is an intrusive thought caused by the OCD. Basically, because the mind is running at such a fast level, it thinks of everything that might fear. For instance, somebody breaking into your house and killing you, or burning your house down, or killing your loved one, or, raping a dog, or somebody raping you, children, and all that kind of thing that the brain knows is wrong, and the person knows is wrong on a moral level. They're like, why am I thinking about these things? And you're not thinking about these things because you are interested in them. You're thinking about these things because you have intrusive thoughts in your head that come in there, and,
like a earworm.
Yeah.
Like a song you can't get out of your
Yes.
head.
And, it's not so much as an earworm, because an earworm is just a song you can't get out of your head. This situation... it can. But the main issue is that it,
That's creepy.
Yeah, this doesn't haunt you. Yeah, you have to actually fight this thing. You actually get to the point where you have to fight that stupid thing. This isn't something that haunts you. This is something that gives you, a panic, a shock.
Yeah.
And you can actually go into a shock symptom from it. Like, you'll actually run to the bathroom and start vomiting. You're like, oh my God, why did I think about something like raping a woman, or messing with children, or raping a dog? Like, any kind of, why did I think about my partner being murdered or slaughtered,
Yeah,
why did I think about it? It would drive you into a shock response because you're not, but the brain is thinking of these things. See, the brain can imagine everything conceivable. And for some people, that's too much. They're like, oh my God, I'm thinking about this. You're not thinking about it. Your brain is reacting on an evolutionary mechanism that determines predators and fear. That's what anxiety is. It's why we have anxiety. Anxiety is supposed to determine what's a threat and what's not a threat. That's why we have anxiety about certain situations, because the brain is trying to stay in survival mode. The brain always wants to survive. That's what it does. It wants to prolong itself. So, by coming up with these things... It's just reminding itself of horrors and things that it doesn't, what if this happens? What if that happened? What would you do if this happened? What would you do if that happened? And of course it scares the bejesus out of the person. But again, a lot of people that just have OCD that needs to be medically dealt with, Yeah, they'll say, oh my, I'm having thoughts of, you know, minors, and it has nothing to do with an attraction. They're not interested in them at one bit. It's just they have this.
Dude, what this kind issue. Of miners? Coal miners, I tell
you. Yeah. But that's the issue here. So yeah, I don't. I mean, again, there's a lot of different things that this can do in people. And it's nothing to worry about. It's just something that you have to kind of really think about, some relaxation techniques and just different things you can do to calm your mind, especially now, because a lot of people are on anxiety meds like crazy. And that's just because of the times. It's just a really crazy time. A lot of people are depressed. And even thanatophobia, which is what I had, was a symptom of depression. I was afraid to go to sleep because I was afraid I wouldn't wake up. I was like, well, that hasn't happened in the past couple of days. I've just been going to sleep rather soundly. And again, it's just that, you know, it's just something that happens. It was a lot of stress. It's been a very stressful time. We can't get people to do their, we can't get enough people to come in and work and do their job or nothing. It's just been a really crazy fucking time so far for us. And immortality, I mean, yeah, everybody wants to try to live forever. And, I mean, of course, the only thing that really, again, shocked me was the reincarnation thing, which I'll probably talk about in another episode. But it was very fascinating, and the whole situation there is pretty fascinating to me. And, of course, we've already talked about the 1.84, 1.85 timeline, you know, as an example. So let's not reiterate and go into all that, and let's talk about the articles.
Yes.
This is from, I guess he's calling himself Justice now, Justice Aurum. He's sending us, man has killed, police arrest wife and her high school boyfriend.
Police kill.
Hold on. I will read it again. I may lose some people on the Discord because all of this. No, it's not. It's not going to my browser. But let's see. Where is it going? Where are you going? Okay. Man is killed. Police arrest wife and her high school boyfriend. A man was fatally shot in cold blood with his wife present. Police now say she had something to do with it. Jennifer and Jamie Faith were walking their dog on October the 9th of 2020 around 7:30 in the morning when a man in a mask ran up behind them. He shot Jamie 7 times, 3 in the head, 3 in the torso, and once in the groin. The man then duct taped Jennifer's hands and tried to take some of her jewelry but quickly gave up. Jumping into a black pickup truck, he sped away. Jamie died on the scene. Members of the community swiftly created a GoFundMe raising more than $600,000 for Jennifer. $60,000. I don't know where I got 600. They also helped provide 2 meals a week for her and her adult daughter, Amber. In a TV interview, Jennifer thanked the community and pleaded with the authorities to catch the culprit. But on February the 24th, 2021, federal authorities arrested Jennifer. The police claimed she was complicit in a murder-for-hire plot against her husband. They believed the man in the mask was 49-year-old Darren Lopez, Jennifer's old high school boyfriend. Authorities say the two rekindled their relationship over emails in which Jennifer gave the impression that Jamie was abusive. She reportedly even created a fake email account pretending to be Jamie and sent Lopez emails bragging about emotionally and sexually abusing his wife. Apparently, she even included some pictures as evidence. Good stuff. Enjoy knowing you can't do a fucking thing about it, one of the emails read, according to court documents, with a photo of a bruised Jennifer attached. The photo was actually from a car crash that she was in 9 years ago, police say. Officials say Jennifer created another fake email from an unidentified man who claimed to have knowledge of the abuse and more photos. Lopez allegedly wrote back saying he wanted to put a bullet in Jamie's head, but Jennifer keeps telling me no. If it were up to me, I would tell you to go for it with your idea. Oh, LOL, I'll give you an alibi, Jennifer wrote back in May of 2020, according to court documents. Police arrested Lopez in January of 2021, 3 months after Jamie's murder. On his phone, the reporter discovered 261 voice calls and 116,171 text messages with Jennifer, some of which discussed Jamie's life insurance and retirement account. Both have yet to enter pleas. Jennifer could potentially face life in prison or the death penalty if convicted. Some members of the community did say it was suspicious that just a few months after the murder, Jennifer's Facebook profile picture changed from a photo of her with Jamie to one with him cropped out. Neighbors say Jamie was a technology director at American Airlines who loved wine and the Green Bay Packers and mentored students at Southern Methodist University in his spare time.
Christian man. Well, he's...
They're just crazy. Okay, we've got... All right. Daily Mail. So that explains the long face. Grandmother, 67, is retired. Is retired. Well, she's probably retired, but that's not the point. Is banned from feeding skinny retired racehorse Nelson carrots and slapped with restraining order after furious owner insists he is perfectly healthy and she is risking his life. A grandmother has been slapped with a restraining order to protect a retired racehorse after she refused to stop feeding him carrots. Margaret Porter, 67, thought that Nelson the Chestnut gelding, which lives in the village of Scranton on the edge of Yorkshire Dales, was sad-looking and decided he was underfed. She then began giving him carrots despite being explicitly asked not to by his owner, Suzanne Cook. The horse's owner warned the grandmother she risked poisoning the horse or giving it colic. But Miss Porter ignored her request and repeatedly called the police and RSPCA, promoting owner Miss Cook to accuse her of a campaign of harassment. The dispute over Nelson's carrots became the talk of the village, of course they have nothing else to fucking talk about, when the parish council asked to intervene in the increasingly bitter feud York magistrates heard. God, I guess they have nothing better to do either. After hearing both sides of the argument on Thursday, magistrates found Miss Porter guilty of harassment, slapped her with a restraining order, which bans her from the horse and Miss Cook's home. She was also fined £180, with court costs of £310, and a £34 court surcharge. Miss Porter, who doesn't work, will pay it at £10 a month from her state pension, which means she'll be paying on it for the rest of her life. That is crazy. Miss Porter told the court how she first became involved after passing Nelson's paddock on the edge of the village. She said, "I saw him standing outside his stables and I thought he looked quite sad. I didn't examine the horse, but I noticed him. The fields were frozen at the time. There was snow on the ground. I passed 6 or 7 times a day. Didn't see his owner with him once. He looked thin and I began speaking to people about my concerns in the hope someone would take it on board and try to get her to look after the horse properly. I was getting quite distressed about the situation. I decided to give him a few carrots at the fence. It never occurred to me anyone else would be bothered about that. I just didn't want him starving to death." Miss Porter continued feeding Nelson, which came to Miss Cook's notice when she realized there were dozens of carrot tops lying in his field. She picked them up in a bucket and confronted Miss Porter out there pointing out that there was a sign on the fence asking people not to feed him. However, Miss Porter took no notice and continued to sneak carrots to Nelson, who willingly trotted over to the fence to receive them. Miss Cook told the court on February the 13th this year, "I was going to my horse when I saw Miss Porter's car parked up. She was throwing food into the field and the horse came over. I opened the car window and said, 'Why are you feeding my horse? Do you realize what you are doing? You could poison my horse or give it colic and make it ill.' She replied, 'You can ring the police. I'm not bothered.'" This old lady did not give a shit.
Yep.
"I am tired of this happening and worried that she may make my horse ill. I know what she is giving it." To her horror, an RSPA inspector then called it her horse, her house, to tell her he was carrying out a welfare check on Nelson. The inspector quickly realized that not only was he being well looked after, he was in peak condition, having competed 3 times in professional horse races. Miss Cook says Miss Porter continued gossiping the villagers despite the RSPCA giving the horse a clean bill of health. Trevor Howell, a parish council steward of 40 years, gave evidence to say Miss Porter began calling him around 10 times insisting the horse wasn't well. God bless America. There's all these pictures. He said, "I did not have any concerns about the horse, but she must have rang at least 10 times about its welfare, repeating it was underfed." Miss Cook said she felt she had no option but to call the police, and Miss Porter was eventually arrested. Jesus. First appearing in court in April when she denied a charge of harassment. After hearing both sides of the argument on Thursday, magistrates found her guilty. Presiding Magistrate Hillary Fairwood said in the first instance her conduct could be considered laudable, and she truly believed she was trying to prevent the neglect of the horse. However, after RSPCA visit and police intervention, she continued despite being explicitly told the SPA had no concerns whatsoever. Her conduct was not reasonable, and we find her guilty of the charge. Ms. Fairwood said it was necessary to impose a restraining order for the protection of Nelson. Address the defendant. It reads, you must not put food in the field for the horse and must not interfere with the horse in any way. Further to that, she must not approach Ms. Cook or attend her home, which is directly across the road from hers. After the hearing, Ms. Porter said it all seems too ridiculous to be taken to court for giving a horse a few carrots, but at least I got to have my say and they didn't send me to jail. Ms. Cook said, I'm very glad the court passed the order to keep her away from Nelson for his sake. He's a thoroughbred horse and he's very well looked after, exercised and fed. He's a wonderful horse and very much loved by me and my son. This has gone on for a year now and has caused so much stress and upset for me. It has had the whole village, where I've lived very happily for 8 years, talking about me. She went out to cause as much difficulty as possible for no good reason. It was horrifying to have the RSPCA called out to do a welfare inspection on Nelson. It made me feel terrible. In his racing days, he was based at Middlesham, one of the homes of British horse racing. His racing name was You're Doing Well. However, after 3 winless races, he was put out to pasture before being snapped up 3 years ago by Miss Cook. In March of 05, the Northallerton magistrates heard Miss Porter lost her temper after her estranged brother William laughed at her while driving past in his Land Rover. She flung 3 sticks of rhubarb from her cottage window, catching him in the right eye with one of them. The court ordered Porter to do 40 hours community service and barred her from entering property belonging to her son, with whom she has also fallen out. Damn!
Burning bridges.
Okay, we actually have one from Loudwire. I'm actually familiar with this, being that they are a rock and heavy metal website. And now yeah. this is not my article. Lars Ulrich Toilet of what? Lars Ulrich Toilet, the latest creation of the musician who made Skeleton Guitar. A toilet fashioned in the 1980s likeness of Metallica drummer Lars Ulrich has made a splash online, and the creator behind it is none other than Prince Midnight, the Florida metal musician and provocateur who previously went viral when he made a guitar out of a skeleton he claimed was his dead uncle's. The Lars Ulrich Toilet is just the latest physical art from Midnight. He performs unconventional vibraphone, lead, gothic, and black metal, and produces a range of unusual artwork. He released a self-titled EP of his music last year, but the Lars Ulrich Toilet is part of his Helmuth Published Plumbing Supply, a boutique bathroom outfitter and art concern. He started with toilet seat lids carrying the images of classic heavy metal album covers. Oh, wow. Man, I might need to go get myself a heavy metal album cover toilet seat. See more photos of the Lars Ulrich toilet down toward the bottom of the post. Prince Midnight tells Loudwire of the toilet, make no mistake, this is not me taking a jab at Lars. This is my way, I'll bet, unconventional to honor Lars Ulrich and Metallica. I could have painted a picture, made a traditional sculpture, but no one would have even noticed, and really that's not the kind of art performance I do. The first band I ever loved was Metallica. The first record I became obsessed with was the first music I ever dove into, the concert I ever attended. He fashioned the toilet's ornamentation using a ton of natural clay from the art store to sculpt the body and legs, he explains. I use alginate to mold and cast my own hands. Whoops. To cast my own hands and feet in resin. I saved the facial sculpt for last using photos of Lars from the 80s. Then, like the hands and feet, I made a mold and cast it in resin. I ran steel rebar through the whole thing with fiberglass batting. My backyard has essentially been an auto body shop for the last couple of months. Midnight adds that some might find the concept of making this toilet to be a work of absurdism or even feel offended by the notion that it's being presented as a work of fine art, but that's how every creative is treated when exploring new creative spaces. Midnight maintains the Lars Ulrich toilet is installed and fully functional. He said he'll be relocating it for public use to the Tampa, Florida music venue Brass Mug on December the 3rd as part of what he calls an art show taking place in the bathroom during the Prince Midnight show.
That Lars is so proud.
Oh my God, this toilet. It is absolutely something.
What does it look like?
What?
Oh my goodness. Oh. Well, put that in the women's bathroom. No guy's gonna trust that.
Oh, yep. There's an up close image there.
They gotta sit down. Oh! Like, I'm not sitting here.
Yeah, that is a bit much. Let's see. Here we go. Irish news. We don't get much from Ireland. What happened in Ireland? Well, we have. Seems like an axe murderer. Cork axe killer. No, an axe killer. An axe killer was murdered. Yes, a Cork axe killer was murdered. Okay, Cork. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No. A Cork. Hold on. They want me to make sure that they value my privacy. Okay, I accept. Hold on, folks. Okay, here we go. A Cork axe killer murdered brothers in Roe over timber business as Garda timeline emerges. Detective investigating the horrific double murder-suicide in County Cork have pierced together the gruesome timeline of events. It says an axe killer murdered his brothers in Roe over their timber business, it's been claimed. Johnny Hennessy, 59, attacked Patrick, 60, and 66-year-old Willie on their Co-Cork farm. A source said Johnny became enraged and snapped. Old Johnny became enraged, and that was it. Meanwhile, the Garda watchdog is probing reports that one of the men called local officers hours before the bloodbath to say help was not needed. Detectives investigating the horrific double murder-suicide have pieced together the gruesome timeline of events that led to the deaths of three Hennessy brothers. The Garda watchdog has also opened a probe into possible contact, believed to be a phone call between local officers and one of the men, claiming Gardaí were not needed hours before the bloodshed. Paddy Hennessy, 60, was found dead in the yard of the farm in Curringham, County Cork, on Thursday night, believed to have suffered a single devastating hatchet blow to the head. Ouch. He's got a worse headache than I do. Let's see. I wish these ads would stop. Willie was found dead in a shed with multiple axe wounds. It has now emerged that a row over the brothers' timber business may have triggered the violent events. A source told the Irish Mirror Johnny and Paddy were in the yard when Johnny became enraged and snapped. It is believed he struck Paddy once with the axe, killing him on the spot. Detectives believe Johnny was now in such shock he thought the only way out was to kill Willie and take his own life. Johnny, 59, drove a Toyota Corolla car van from the farm and parked at Cullyclug Church near the River Funchian, leaving his wallet so he could be identified. His body was pulled from the river about 5 kilometers from Curringhorn on Friday morning. Paddy's daughter Elaine and her mother Stephanie, Paddy's ex-wife, made the horrific discovery after they became concerned when he failed to return to Elaine's home in Mitchelston. Armed guard eye rushed to the scene, believing a gun may have been used. My God. The shocking farm tragedies may have been sparked by financial stress compounded by isolation as a result of pandemic restrictions, but it may have also been over land and the sale of cattle. Oh yeah. However, dispute over the timber round is believed to be the main cause. Wow. Mental health issues are also being investigated as a possible contributing factor in the brutal slayings of the brothers, known locally as the Saints. In 2012, Paddy's son, Paddy, died tragically at the age of 21, while 2 years later, the Hennessy's older brother, Jerry, worked in Cork Marts, also died at age 57. The Garda Ombudsman Commission confirmed it is investigating contact between the brothers, assuring Mitchelson Gardaí that there was no need for officers to attend the 25-acre farm. A spokesman said the GSOC received a referral on Friday from a superintendent related to possible contact between Gardaí, one of the deceased, prior to the incident. The referral was made under Section 102 of the Garda Síochána Act of 2005. Okay, we're making sure. These do get rather long. Section 102 of the Act requires that the Garda Commissioner shall refer to the Ombudsman on any matter that appeals to the Commissioner to indicate that the conduct of a member may have resulted in death or serious harm to a person. Garda spokesman said, "We can confirm the GSOC are carrying out preliminary inquiries into the possible interaction that may have occurred prior to the incident on Thursday night. Postmortems have been completed on the three men, but the results will not be released for operational reasons." Spokesperson added that Garda continue to appeal to any persons who may have information in relation to the incident to come forward. The Hennessy brothers' tragedy occurred in the same Garda district as another murder-suicide horror in Kanturk in October of last year. Mark O'Sullivan, 26, was shot in his bed, and the bodies of his brother Diarmuid and father Tog, 23 and 59, were found in a nearby field in an apparent murder-suicide pact sparked by a row over inheritance. Jeez. What the hell is going on in Ireland?
They had that Civil War been going on most of our, I guess most of our younger years anyway. And, you know.
Yeah, we
it's
see.
It's always something. Where there's a lot of drinking, there's a lot of fighting.
Right, we've got, it says, Georgia webcam model 27 accidentally shoots herself in genitals with 9mm handgun and pornographic video gone horribly wrong. Yes.
I can imagine what she did with the gun for it to go off.
Georgia woman working as a webcam model for a popular pornography site accidentally shot herself in the vagina earlier this month. A police report chronicling the bizarre incident reveals, and what a witness says was a pornographic video gone horribly wrong. According to the report, e-girl Lauren Hunter Damon, 27, accidentally discharged the weapon, a 9mm handgun, while alone in her bedroom the morning of November 9th while several of her housemates were on the property. Around noon, cops were called to the scene of the Thomaston home after receiving a report of an accidental gunshot wound. Upon arriving at the scene, Upson County Sheriff's Deputy Zachary Wall immediately encountered an EMS worker in the woman's driveway clutching the handgun as well as a spent bullet casing. The paramedic notified the officer that the female had shot herself in the vagina accidentally, the report reads. Damon, wounded but in stable condition, was subsequently carted off to the parking lot of the Upson County Sheriff's Office.
That's the first rule of gun safety. Don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy.
Yep. Damon, who works in the small town of Thomaston, Georgia, works as a webcam model for the popular pornography site Chatterbait, where users tip performers for requested sex acts. Her housemate told police that she was likely filming when the gun went off.
It's first rule of penis safety, too. Don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy.
It was a 9mm serial AJ-2563. Oh, wow. I observed the casing for the gun to be a 380 round.
I mean, it's still a 9mm is a 9mm.
Yeah, it's a 380 round.
A 380, well, then that's not a 9mm. That's smaller.
I observed
than a
the casing for the gun to be a 380 round as I secured it in my patrol vehicle.
Well, then it's a 380 then. It's a .380
.380. Yeah,
it's in between a .22 bullet and a 9mm.
Okay.
As far as size goes.
A police report filed after November the 9th incident states that a paramedic who arrived at the scene before police told responding officers that Damon had shot herself in the vagina accidentally. Police then conducted interviews with the other two residents of the home, three in total. The two other were present when the shot went off. One of the women's housemates, Jordan Allen, the owner of the firearm, told deputies he was in the kitchen when he heard a gunshot and shed some light on how the strange incident may have occurred. According to the report, Allen rushed to Damon's room when he heard the gun go off and found her with blood dripping down her leg. Allen then told the police that upon seeing him enter the room, a bloody Damon told him that she shot herself accidentally and profusely apologized. Allen then illuminated the officers as to his housemate's occupation. Per the report, Allen told cops that Damon has subscribers on a sexual web platform called Chatter and added that she makes sexual videos of herself and people pay her to see them. Allen then advised the lawman that he believed she was recording a video at the time the gun went off. Damon's social profiles revealed that the woman has at least one young child, an infant. Yeah, Damon was carted off, to the Upson County Sheriff's Office after the incident and was subsequently transported by helicopter to the Macon Hospital. She was reportedly released earlier this week. Damon, who was in stable condition when officers arrived but was medevaced to nearby Macon to receive treatment, reportedly gave cops a conflicting amount of what led her to unfortunate injury. A second housemate, 80 Ruth Johnson, further told deputies that sometime after the accidental discharge of the firearm, Damon walked into the home's living room. What? The home's? That's what it says. Telling Johnson and several others that she accidentally shot herself. Police also interviewed distraught Damon before she was driven away and stated that her account of the shooting was inconsistent with her claiming at one point she discharged the weapon herself and another that the gun went off during a consensual sex act with Allen. Despite the inconsistencies, however, Upson County Sheriff told the Smoking Gun that the shooting, which his department labeled reckless conduct in their November 9th report, is unlikely to result in criminal charges. Moreover, the web platform Ellen mentioned to officers is actually called Chatterbait, a popular adult site that allows models to receive donations from viewers in the form of tips, in return from the recorded staging of requested sex acts. It is currently unknown whether Damon was broadcasting online when the gun went off or whether she was recording a video to be uploaded to the pornography site. Her social media profiles reveal that the woman has at least one child, an infant. After arriving at the parking lot of the local police department, the woman was medevaced by helicopter to a hospital in nearby Macon, situated approximately 40 miles away, the report further discloses. Yep, so these thoughts are shooting themselves in the vagina, and she has a fucking kid. I hope the kid wasn't around when that situation happened. I hope
the fact that she's got to own it. I'd say once you have a kid, it's not that you lose your attractiveness or anything. It's that the kid has to grow up.
Yeah.
At some point, and his friends are like, look at the pictures I found of your mom online.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think got a little bit of name-calling and pushing arounds, bullying. Everyone's going to talk about how they want to screw your mom. That's really going to make them feel great.
Okay, North Koreans sentenced to death by firing squad after students caught watching smuggled copy of Squid Game. A North Korean man has been sentenced to death for sneaking a copy of Squid Game into the country. Wow. The smuggler will be executed by firing squad after authorities caught a group of students watching the South Korean Netflix drama. According to Radio Free Asia, the man was accused of bringing digital copies of the series back from China and selling them on USB flash drives. The student who bought the copy was sentenced to life in prison, while six others who watched it were given 5 years hard labor. Huh. Yeah. Teachers and administrators at the school are also being punished, with some being fired and sent to work in mines.
That's crazy. Ah. And that's in North Korea?
Yes. This all started last week when a high school student secretly bought a USB flash drive containing the South Korean drama Squid Game and watched it with one of his best friends in class, a source of law enforcement in North Hamgyong province told the outlet. The friend told several other students who became interested, and they shared the flash drive with them. They were caught by the censors in 109 Sangmu, who had received a tip-off. 109 Sangmu, officially known as Surveillance Bureau Group 109, is a specialized government strike force that hunts down illegal video watchers.
You ever notice how it's funny how the government never goes to liberate people when there's no oil involved or resources?
Well, that's North Korea. They are a dictatorship. While consuming media content from capitalist countries, specifically the U.S. and South Korea, is illegal, with the dictatorship and punishable by death, this is the first time the elimination of reactionary thought and culture law has been applied in a case involving minors, the outlet reported. According to the source, the regime will now mercilessly interrogate those arrested to trace every person in the distribution chain, leading to further arrests. Residents are engulfed by anxiety as the seven will be mercilessly interrogated until the authorities can find out how the drama was smuggled in with the border closed due to the coronavirus pandemic, they said. It means that the bloody winds of investigation and punishment will soon blow. The government is taking this incident very seriously, saying the students' education was being neglected. The Central Committee dismissed the school principal, their youth secretary, and their homeroom teacher, the source added. They were also expelled from the party. It is certain that they would be sent to toil in coal mines or exiled to rural parts of the country. So other school teachers are all worrying that it could happen to them too if one of their students is also caught up in the investigation. The source also claimed that one of the students who comes from a wealthy family was able to escape punishment after his parents bribed authorities with $3,000 U.S. One of the main characters in the show, player 67, Kang Se-byeok, played by Jung Hyo-yeon, is a North Korean defector who enters the violent games to pay for a broker who can bring her parents across the border. Yeah, it is an absolute fucking shit show down there in Korea.
Up there, really?
Over there in Korea, yeah. Okay, so we have more important news now. Let's see. It is from Bloomberg. DeSantis proposes reinstating civilian Florida military unit. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis proposed reinstating the state military division under his control, an idea he said would give the state flexibility to respond. Let me just go past this, guys. Okay, would respond to national disasters and other emergencies. DeSantis, a Republican, said he wants to allocate $3.5 million in the state's budget to reestablish the civilian volunteer force, with training and equipment for 200 members. He said the force's main jobs would include adding the Florida National Guard and responding to hurricanes and similar events. But the Democrats seeking to challenge him for the governorship in 2022 immediately blasted the idea. Senator Annette Tadeo called it a move for vigilante media under his control, while Representative Charlie Crist likened the idea to creating a hand-picked secret police. The Florida State Guard was disbanded after World War II, but DeSantis said other states currently have such forces. He said that the force would help respond to emergencies in the most effective way possible. Some of that will require us to be able to have access and be able to use support in ways that are not encumbered by the federal government or don't require the federal government, he said Thursday from Pensacola. Florida House Speaker Chris Sprawls, a Republican, looks forward to reviewing the governor's various proposals during the legislative session that starts next month, according to Jenna Sarkeesian, a spokeswoman for Sprawls. Senate President-designate Kathleen Passedimo, also Republican, didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. So there you go with that. Now, here is one I posted. Obese man reveals how he met and fell in love with his stunning size 8 wife, and how they keep the spark alive despite cruel trolls who say he is punching. A couple who have been trolled as fake and an odd match because of their size difference have hit back at the critics' cruel taunts. Sienna Kira, 26, from Australia, moved to the UK to be with actor George Kaywood, 27, but the cruel trolls claim they couldn't possibly be in love because she is a size 8 and he is obese. The couple, who have a 1-year-old son called Oliver, say the relationship is real and full of so much love and TikTok videos and have no time for haters who doubt them. The pair met on Instagram and spoke for 6 months before Sienna moved to be with George, who is an actor in comedy series People Just Do Nothing on BBC.
It's not that big.
Sienna says their sex life is the best I've ever had, and despite the cruelty from followers online, she finds his belly a turn-on. And it also... Oh my god.
Oh, he's the over...
Yeah, he's quite big.
How big are we talking?
Quite big. Quite big.
And he's a movie star.
Yeah, he's an actor. Not a movie star, he's an actor. And one video on TikTok, George can be seen with the couple's toddler on his knee while Sienna dances in front of the camera. The cruel words so casually slung at them by the general public appear on the screen as she moves. You two won't last. This isn't love. They are both so odd. It's all fake for TikTok.
George? Who?
He's quite big. I've got a picture. He's quite big. Trust me. He's quite big. Here.
Goodness.
Yeah.
He's a lucky man.
Yeah, he is. I mean, there's another picture of him and her in the...
Wow. I don't think anyone that size should be praised for their size.
No.
Because that there's a difference between having a hard time controlling your weight and being morbidly obese.
Well, the Australian mother insists that George is her dream man to her 55,900 followers, with her fiancé telling the skinny boys that Sienna has always liked fat boys. The mom said she is super attracted to George and finds his tummy a turn-on. They explain that their lives are full of love for each other and that their young son and that they are happy. But despite this, some have gone as far as to say the young woman looks scared in all of her videos with her partner. They aren't hate comments, they aren't concerned. She looks scared in her videos and barely blinks, one person said. Others described them as the ultimate TikTok couple. Another woman said she is size 6 and her most beautiful relationship was with a man who weighed 140 kilograms. Sienna and George refused to let the haters keep them down, despite Sienna being regularly called a gold digger and George constantly told he's punching. Sienna also showcases her slender physique and figure-hugging ensembles. Whoops, they put me all the way to the back of the beginning of the article. Hold on. I love when they do that.
That might be a feeder, the female version of a feeder. You've heard of the guy feeders.
Yeah.
Usually black and love to feed their women.
It said, Sienna, okay, figure hung in ensembles, while George is equally unashamed to show off his body, often appearing in the clips. Jesus, Daily Mail. If you're not going to let me read the rest of it, we won't. It's, yeah, they're just being really crazy. It says, oh, well, hold on. She's got a lot to say. This is important.
All right.
George is equally unashamed to show off his body, often appearing in the clips topless. The Australian mom insists George is her dream man, and of course, we've already talked about that. She likes fat boys. Okay, but she has more to say. However, their loved-up videos, which often get millions of views each time, have been branded uncomfortable, weird, not genuine by some TikTok users. Recalling how they met, Sienna said, we talked on Instagram for like 6 months. We basically got together. I moved to the UK from Australia. That's the short version anyway. The duo received plenty of messages full of support for their relationship, but also many negative comments about their weight difference. But when asked if George was plus size when first meeting, the father replied, she's always liked the fatties way long before I came into her sights. Just to clear things up, she's always liked fat boys. Unlucky for all you skinny boys, you've got no chance. In response to those who criticize her relationship, Sienna told Female, the hate doesn't get to us. We love each other and nothing anyone says would change that. Our aim is to encourage people to accept themselves for who they are. Thank you to everyone who supports us and sends positive messages our way. Fans have been quick to support the pair, with one person writing, better cuddles, you go guys, while another person said, absolutely beautiful couple. A third added, I don't see what the obsession is over the fact that he's a big man and you're gorgeous. Who cares what y'all look like? You love each other and you seem to have a happy, healthy family.
Well, it's the oddity at most women. You know, they say, because back
yeah,
in the
because
day,
they want us to date. Like, they want skinny people. I know. They want skinny people to date fat girls. And
well, that wasn't even it.
Yeah,
back
but they
the
but
day,
they know but they
women
didn't want
would
to
date someone that wasn't great looking or
oh I know
out of shape because they could support them and take care of them and help raise a family. Now a lot of women are just as shallow as guys, and guys are just visually more interested in women to take care of themselves.
Yeah, and I do have to mention, because it just got hit in my chats, that our Raging Golden Eagle is back on YouTube. Apparently they reinstated his account. Remember, he had gone down for graphic nudity, which is really weird, because he didn't have anything like that on his channel. I mean, unless there's like fan art or something that maybe... But anyway, he was able to clarify it with YouTube, and he's back on. He was on Raging Golden Phoenix for a while, but now he's on Raging Golden Eagle proper. So go ahead and resub. I mean, don't, you know, everything should be fine. I got notifications just now that he's back on. So that's great. Glad to see you back on there, Raging Golden Eagle. He was on there with Drexel and Dick Masterson and all that a couple days ago, too. I still got to listen to that, so I haven't had a chance to listen to that. But we have one more article and then we are done. And this article is kind of sad, but it has to happen. It has to happen. You know, all good things come to an end. Kind of what we were talking about at the beginning. And, we have moved on to The Evil Within 2. Okay. Okay. Well, you get to see the beginning of The Evil Within 2, which you'll see more later. Bruce Campbell says he can't physically play Ash Williams anymore. If you recall Bruce Campbell touring the country back in the 90s, you would also recall a spry, crazy dude that would do insane flips on stage to raucous applause. These are the flips he did in Evil Dead 2 when he was battling his possessed hand. Campbell is one of the coolest dudes around, to be certain. However, his recent comment in an interview with Collider sort of broke our hearts and reminded us that we are all getting older, and that kind of sucks. In the interview, Campbell says that the physical demand of playing Ash Williams is just too much for him at this age. He goes on to say that he felt the strain big time during the production of Starz, Ash vs. Evil Dead series.
Oh, yeah.
I'm done playing Ash, so that determines a lot of where we go with the franchise without that character. But there are more stories. Campbell went on to tell Collider, Ash is gone. I've retired the character because I physically just can't do him anymore, so why bother? Why do I do it? It's time to hang up the chainsaw. But we still are filmmakers, we're still producers, we still are creative type dudes, so we were like, how do we keep this going otherwise? Sam Raimi handpicked Fede Alvarez to do the remake a few years ago. He handpicked Lee Cronin for this one. These are Sam Raimi proteges that we hope will do a good job. We're all seriously lucky to have had all the amazing time with Campbell's Ash. The guy is one of a kind, and it's his true gift. It's a true gift that he gave us each and every time. His time as Ash was brilliant. Like all good things, we naturally don't want to end, but there is a real, pure radness that comes with quitting on your own terms.
Yeah.
We still have many more Evil Dead stories to visit, so We still have many more Evil Dead stories to visit, so in that right, the world that Campbell gave us with Sam Raimi will keep living. The upcoming next chamber, Evil Dead Rise. Why are they doing this to me? Okay. It was an ad or something. We're not going
to
worry.
Be hard to top.
We're not going to worry about it. Okay. He handpicked, hold on. He says, that guy is one of a kind, a true gift that he gave us each and every time. His time as Ash was brilliant. Like all good things, we naturally don't want it to end, but there is a real pure radness that comes with quitting on your own terms. We still have more Evil Dead stories to visit, so in that right, the world that Campbell gave us with Sam Raimi will keep living. The upcoming next chapter, Evil Dead Rise, is being produced by both Campbell and Raimi and being directed by Lee Cronin. The only thing we would love to get back to is another Evil Dead film that is directed by Sam Raimi. Sure, Fede Alvarez and Cronin are awesome, but nothing can compare to the unique eye and direction that Raimi has. I'm still holding out hope that Raimi directs another Evil Dead or two. I would even settle for a sequel or prequel to Drag Me to Hell. Sincerely, Bruce, we are eternally grateful for each and every moment you gave us with Ash. We love you. Yeah. Yeah, oh, and also you get, I forgot to mention, Terminator Resistance is having a new DLC package this month. It's not just a regular DLC package, it's like a full campaign that they just gave you for free if you own the game.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's like, I don't know how long it is, but it seems like it's a full game in itself. They just decided to make another story on the same engine, which there's nothing wrong with. I wish more developers would do that.
No. Or, yes, maybe it's a passion project or something.
But, yeah, I think that's where we're going to end it. Obviously, we're showing The Evil Within 2 now that we've finally gotten to it. Major graphic overhaul, definitely, on this one.
Yeah.
It's quite awesome. The game. It's quite the game. I love it. It was my favorite survival horror game in the past number of years. Much older character now. We've got more articles to do, but we'll do them tomorrow on the Grim Rants, on the Games and Rants show, whatever. Grim Rants show. We'll see what I come up with that on.
Look at the comments if we have any.
Yeah, I did. There wasn't anything. They just told me that RGE was back and somebody just said, and I think Winter said, yay, I'm doing a new image thing. Yeah. He said, new show imagery. Wow, new show imagery. And, host Yoni posts, gay plus one. And late you say, and then Yoshiken, of course, says, RG is back on YouTube. So that's all for this episode. And I guess we will be hitting you up with the next show. I've got to take some ibuprofen. I'm getting those tension headaches again. And I will be seeing you guys later. This is the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration. And we are out of here.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.